More and more teens are puffing away on electronic cigarettes. Usage has tripled among high school students in just 1 year. What are the risks? It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We'll talk about the spike in e-cigarette usage among teens, what's driving it, also about the hazards of e-cigarettes, how nicotine affects the teenage brain, and if there's a risk even when e-cigarettes contain little or no nicotine. Then we'll hear from some of Iowa's most innovative tech companies. They're winners of the Prometheus Awards. That's all coming up. First, a look at this hour's news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Coming up in our second half hour in just a bit, we'll hear from some of Iowa's most innovative tech companies. Those are winners of what's called the Prometheus Award. But first, more and more teens are puffing away on electronic cigarettes, e-cigarettes, or vaping is the term that's often used if you're in that crowd. E-cigarette usage tripled among high school students in just 1 year between 2013 and 2014, and a national survey this month confirmed earlier indications that e-cigarettes are now more popular among teenage students than traditional cigarettes and other forms of tobacco. This half hour, we want to look at what's driving this dramatic trend, how nicotine affects the teenage brain, and if there's a risk, even when the e-cigarettes contain little or no nicotine. We want to reach out to you this half hour. Do you have a teen who's vaping, puffing on e-cigarettes? Share your experience and your question. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Share your question or experience on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page, or tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us this first half hour by phone, Dr. Matthew Trump is a pulmonologist with the Iowa Clinic in Des Moines. Dr. Trump, welcome. Dr. Trump, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we've got you now. Thank you for joining us. Also joining us by phone, Megan Aukett, Director for Tobacco Control and Lung Health for the American Lung Association in Iowa. Megan, welcome to you.
Hello.
I'd like to start with you, Megan, get a handle on the trend that we're seeing. You work in high schools organizing anti-tobacco peer-to-peer programs. You're in 8 counties in central Iowa, I understand. So you and others that work with you are in the high schools. So what do you notice
right.
about this trend? Is this national statistic that I named something that you see reflected in our high schools in Iowa?
Yep, I definitely think it's very comparable to Iowa youth as well. I can tell you when we go do presentations and we talk to youth about the dangers of all tobacco products and we talk about e-cigarettes, a lot of times kids are just asking lots of questions, interested in the product, and they'll even mention knowing somebody that uses the product or they know what it looks like. And it's even more alarmingly that several students have stated that they don't think these products are harmful. So we are definitely seeing an increased usage, I think, within students in the schools that we at least go to.
Mm-hmm. So are they naming any sources when, and we'll hear the medical opinion of Dr. Trump in just a moment, but are they naming any sources when they maintain that it's harmless?
You know, I think they're just seeing some of the media and the celebrities that are promoting the products and things like that using the e-cigarette industry is using cartoons, celebrity spokespeople, and then candy-flavored products. I think it's really just doing misleading health claims to attract and to appeal to kids.
Okay, let's talk to Dr. Trump. You're a pulmonologist with the Iowa Clinic, a specialist in diseases with the respiratory tract. There's this big idea, and Megan just voiced it, that they aren't harmful because they aren't real cigarettes. What are the things you're concerned about as you review the literature on this and as a pulmonologist?
Well, frankly, that's not true. There is harm, and a lot of the harm comes from the nicotine. And nicotine is highly addictive. It is the most addictive substance we have that we know of. And unfortunately, in my practice, I see a lot of older people who struggle with nicotine addiction. And a lot of these people started when they were younger. And it's very difficult to stop smoking once you've started. And the earlier you start, the more likely you are to keep smoking. And part of it is because there are significant effects of nicotine on the brain and central nervous system. And this addiction gets started and is fostered in the growing and developing brain that we see in our youth. Mm-hmm. And so anytime a powerfully addictive substance is introduced at a younger age, there are consequences down the road mm-hmm. that they may not realize.
Just so we make sure that everyone understands what these e-cigarettes are, if you've never held one in your hand, it can look like a pen, and a small battery is in it, and it has a little vessel there for some fluid, and in that fluid would be possibly nicotine and other things there.
Right.
And then the battery vaporizes small doses of that fluid, Megan, and that's what you inhale. It actually looks like smoke, but it's vapor. Megan?
Yep. It's a battery operated and uses an atomizer to heat a refillable cartridge that releases a chemical-filled aerosol. There's currently over 500 brands and over 7,700 flavors. These flavors come in things like Fruit Loop flavored, cotton candy. So it's very concerning that these youth are not understanding the health impacts of using these products.
Mm-hmm. Very clear that it's not just targeted at adults or specifically targeted at the younger set. What can you say, Dr. Trump? What have you looked into as far as what else could be or is in this fluid? I think they call it juice as well, besides nicotine.
It's hard to say. Without strict regulation, without a lot of study, I mean, they are marketed as safe and they are sold over the counter, but there are a lot of over-the-counter products which aren't scrutinized as they should be. So the material that the liquid is dissolved in is propylene glycol, which is a safe substance. It's found in a lot of commonly used items in our diet, and for the most part, that material is not a problem. The problem is that one of the byproducts of the heating is formaldehyde, and usually that's been seen at very high levels. Formaldehyde is a carcinogen, and so that which can lead to cancers, but usually the formation of formaldehyde comes at very high heat levels. Now, the other thing is that not just the over-the-counter products can be used in these devices, but, you know, people can experiment with other things, and there are other materials that can be, combusted and heated up to deliver vapors. So mm-hmm. So anything can be in there, and that's a big problem too, is the unknown. But obviously, the main substance here too in question is nicotine, and mm-hmm. it's the nicotine that makes you feel good. It's the nicotine that gives you that pleasure of smoking it, mainly of inhaling and vaping, and that's what drives the addiction. And in addition, and then you tie it to a pleasant tasting substance that's sugar related or some of the other things that Megan has mentioned. So it's not just the delivery system itself, it's the nicotine too. Those are substances to be concerned about. So
mm-hmm. Megan, and I know you deal with this a lot. Let's talk a little bit more about addiction, because there's not just a physical addiction to, when we talk about addiction in the case of smoking, to nicotine in this case. There are other things, social things, behavioral, psychological things wrapped up with getting addicted to something, isn't there?
Right. Yep. Yep. We talk a lot about during our cessation classes that we do for Freedom from Smoking about the three-link chain of addiction. So you have just exactly what you mentioned, the mental, the behavioral, and the social, and how important it is to really address all three links in the chain to be successful in your quit attempt. And fortunately, there are awesome, great, useful tools out there that are FDA approved. There's 7 FDA approved medications that are safe and effective that help people quit smoking. And we also have a great phone cessation resource here in Iowa called 1-800-QUIT-NOW that people can call and go through a whole quit plan with a trained person on the phone. And they're actually offering 8 weeks free nicotine replacement therapy for all Iowans right now when you enroll. So there are some great useful tools out there that people just can utilize that are FDA approved.
Mm-hmm. And so would you say, Dr. Trump, that if you're trying to kick a smoking habit, a nicotine patch would be a better way to go? Because then you don't have this social behavioral, what do I do with my hands when I quit smoking? You have to. You just put a patch on.
Quitting smoking is very difficult. It's only likely to happen in the first time in about a quarter of the time in people who have tried to quit who suffer from nicotine addiction. It's a very tough problem to beat, and most people take many, many chances to do it. Most people need many different modalities. A lot of times it is patches, it is gums. There's no one thing that's really better than the other. It is individualized. It is a personalized process. Sometimes it takes multiple types of medicines and assistance and support to overcome it. And it is a struggle that people have. And so I wouldn't necessarily say that a patch is better than a gum because everybody's different. And so when I talk to my patients about this, I ask them, you know, what is it about it that keeps you smoking? What is it about it? Is it something you need to have in your hand? Then you maybe try a pen. Is it something you need to inhale? Well, there's nicotrol inhalers. Is it the nicotine itself? We have patches. We have gum. We have lozenges. And on top of that, the medications, the Chantix, the Wellbutrin are medicines which are effective for smoking cessation. And so those things are all used when I approach somebody about smoking cessation, and it's not one thing over the other. A patch can cause a rash. A patch can some people don't know how to use them properly, and so it is. It's a multi-step process. It involves a lot of attention to each different person, and that's what it is. That's what I think is very important to think about this.
If you just joined us, Dr. Matthew Trump is one of our guests, pulmonologist with the Iowa Clinic in Des Moines. Megan Aukett is with the American Lung Association in Iowa. Join our conversation. Your experience, your question is about e-cigarettes. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Leave your question or comment on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk. Let's go to the phones. Matt is calling from Dubuque. I see on my screen, Matt, you are the owner of an electronic cigarette store?
Not so much a store. We make the electronic cigarette juice.
Mm-hmm.
We're called Clearview Vapes. And, there was I've been listening to this report here, and there was a few things that the doctor said that I kind of found contradictory to our own research.
Which would be what?
One of them was like he was making comparisons to the formaldehyde count, in for one thing. And in our own personal experiences from the research that we've gathered from independent sources, we have found that the actual numbers are in a cigarette, you have about 40 parts per million of formaldehyde. Whereas in the same equivalent of e-juice, you have about 4 parts per billion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dr. Trump, maybe you have a question for Matt or want to follow up there, react to that?
It's still there, and so that's the issue. It's that it's not it's less. It's not necessarily a safe alternative to cigarettes. It is true that the toxins amount, the toxins in the electronic cigarettes are less than in usual cigarettes, the nicotine is still there. The nicotine is a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the big point I want to drive home is that it is the nicotine and it's the delivery device for that. And so,
yep. Matt, let me ask you before time gets away, if you're still there in Dubuque, you make these e-cigarette juices, you manufacture them. Do you make the ones that are bubble gum or Fruit Loops flavored, kids flavored ones?
We do have like some of the fruitier flavored ones and a couple of cereal flavored flavors. We have 43 flavors currently.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, none of them are specifically meant to target anyone that isn't actually a smoker.
Well, I mean, with those flavors, aren't you obviously targeting kids with cereal-flavored, Fruit Loop-flavored cigarettes? Come on.
Well, we feel that, like, market demand kind of dictates a lot of what the flavors are.
Well, would your conscience also dictate part of that as well? Do you sell anything that's currently legal and to our kids?
Oh, we don't sell to anybody under the age of 18 at all.
Right.
I mean, we put that right on our bottles. But as far as, like, the flavors, me personally, anything that tastes tobacco-y, I have not liked at all. My personal preference in vaping is I prefer more of the fruity flavors, your sweeter flavors. I personally don't like the cereal flavors, but I do a lot of things with mangoes and peaches and you know, other table fruits.
Okay, so you see the future of this as bright for you and your manufacturing?
Potentially, very much so. Is one more thing I just remembered was another thing that he was stating was the propylene glycol. And as far as like an industry standard, nobody uses more than 40% of propylene glycol. Generally, it's a 60% vegetable glycol base, vegetable glycerin. I'm sorry.
Okay, Matt in Dubuque, thank you very much. Dr. Trump, did you want to react to that last comment?
I didn't quite hear your last question. Sorry.
Okay, that I guess it had to do with the concentration of glycol. Is that right, Matt?
Right. So what he was saying, and like I said before, the propylene glycol is a commonly used additive and agent to a lot of different foods, and overall the FDA has said it's safe. So it's the problem is that it in high heat concentrations, it is changed to formaldehyde. And so, and that's what the problem is. But it's only at very high concentrations that tend to not be used when people are actually using the device.
Okay, Matt, we've got other input from listeners. Thank you very much for your view, Matt in Dubuque. We have a tweet from Banna Chase, e-cigarette industry claims they can be used as a cessation tool, but no research evidence backs that up. Dr. Trump, is there no research that backs that up? Can it not for certain individuals be used as a cessation tool?
Yes, it is. There is more and more peer-reviewed research that is coming out that shows that in established smokers that it is useful to cut down their cigarette amount, and it is that it is efficacious to reduce smoking, and so smoking cigarettes, and so that is where its main utility does lie. And so,
and for your lungs, you're not getting the tar, for instance, that you would with something burning like tobacco, right?
It's a different device, yes. Now, some of the proponents or some of the other investigators have suggested that sometimes this formaldehyde may be more toxic itself, but a lot of the other toxins and byproducts found in regular, usual cigarettes are not seen in electronic cigarettes. It doesn't, however, make them any potentially less safe. Now, are they, or I shouldn't say that. What I should say is it doesn't make them any, there's no safe amount of cigarette exposure or e-cigarette exposure, but if it's reducing the amount overall of cigarette smoke exposure in addition to getting somebody off the cigarettes, then again, it's kind of sometimes we think of it as the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Running out of time here. We've got a few minutes left, but Brenda is on the line in Des Moines. Please be brief. Brenda, what's on your mind?
Sure. We know nicotine is addictive. Does it have any other health effects? What are the negative effects of nicotine besides being addictive?
Mm, good question, Brenda.
So nicotine does cause direct effects on the lungs, and it causes the blood vessels in the body to constrict as well. You know, that we talk to our patients who have heart and blood vessel disease as well, of the importance of quitting smoking, because it constricts things and it makes blood pressure higher, and all these things can lead to cancers as well. And so there are other harmful effects of nicotine, yes.
Mm-hmm. A question for you, Megan, before we have to go. Let's say I'm a parent there who has a teenager, a high school, junior high student,
right,
come home with an e-cigarette and say, but Dad, it's perfectly fine, and maybe, these don't even have nicotine in them. Can I do this with my friends?
Right. I think first what parents need to do is do their research from credible sites like the ALA, the CDC. Our state website of tobacco use prevention and control has some great information out there. And back in 2009, the FDA did do some initial lab tests, and even in those labeled nicotine-free, they did have traceable levels of nicotine. So I think parents getting that factual information first and foremost is beneficial. And then just sitting down with them, having an open conversation with the kids, talking to them about these products, and take this opportunity to talk about all tobacco products. And then sharing your expectations as a parent, how strongly you disapprove of the use of these products. We know what nicotine has a negative impact on adolescent brain development, so sharing that information with them. And then I think being a role model, if you smoke or use tobacco or an e-cigarette, to work on trying to quit. There are several resources available, like we already talked about. So we know that it's very difficult, and there's a lot of things that go into it. But with these free resources and the 7 FDA-approved medications, that's really the route to go. Be
okay.
That role model for your students,
mm-hmm,
your kids.
Quickly, are schools and school districts in your area of coverage reacting by putting more restrictions or bans on these?
Right. Yeah, so one of the things that we work with is we work closely with schools to implement nicotine-free school policies so that e-cigarettes aren't even allowed on the property, even on, you know, special events and things like that. So a lot of school districts have been implementing this policy, and that is a CDC best practice that shows policies like that do help with the prevention of the initiation of tobacco use.
Mm-hmm. So if you're caught with one in your backpack in school, for instance, that would be a violation.
That would be a violation, and it would be up to the school of how they would determine, would that be an immediate suspense or that, you know, detention, that type of thing.
Okay. Dr. Trump, before we go, we have about 30 seconds. Please answer this. What can you say? Are you in a position to recommend improving our laws, our regulation here in Iowa?
Yeah, I think electronic cigarettes need further study, but they do need to be regulated. Absolutely. I think there needs to be more investigation into side effects, toxicities, and it should be regulated. And, you know, it is concerning when Megan raises the concern that there, even in the non-nicotine forms, there are trace levels. So it just goes to show that if without proper oversight, that who knows what could be in there. So,
okay. Thank you very much for joining us this half hour. Dr. Matthew Trump, pulmonologist with the Iowa Clinic in Des Moines. Megan Aukett, Director for Tobacco Control and Lung Health for the American Lung Association in Iowa. Megan, Dr. Trump, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk about the Prometheus Awards. It was the 10th annual award presentation earlier this month. It's an award that recognizes organizations, innovations, and people for technological breakthroughs, focused on Iowa's breakthroughs. So we'll talk with a couple of this year's winners and the director in just a moment.